I always find passages about demons in the Gospels really interesting, because it seems like these days we're much more likely to hear movies and TV shows and pop culture talking about angels and demons than we at least talk about such things in the Lutheran Church. Yet, even if the idea of a possessing supernatural spirit, even if that is out of step for us this morning with our modern minds and ways of engaging things, it seems that if we reflect on the experience of this man in the text, that we could still find resonance with that idea, that truth, that there are indeed forces in this world that are beyond our control, that cause us to do things that we regret, that lead to us experiencing separation between ourselves and God, between ourselves and the rest of our community, that stand between us and experiencing the abundant life that God desires for us. And this week, I had the opportunity to journey with some of our high school youth as they headed down to St. Louis to walk with the folks in the communities there and do some service supporting the ministries that were in those places, in those communities, walking with people through situations of their own that were outside of their control. And I had an opportunity to hang out with kids whose, as you got to know them, you realized that some of the disruptive behavior that they had to do with the fact that they hadn't eaten in days. Or we saw folks on the street who were begging for help because they couldn't afford their medical bills. And this, you know, piled separation on separation as they were further alienated from their community. Folks who, through no fault of their own, were in the grip of these situations that they could not overcome by their own power, which then further excluded them from the communities they were a part of. It's easy, in the face of such difficulties and challenge, such evil, to feel overwhelmed, and like there's not much that we can do. And indeed, if we hone our focus just on the evil, on the situation, and let the story end there, that it can indeed seem overwhelming. But one of the focuses for our week during our times of worship and devotion was on this theme of stories and about how our stories are part of God's story of restoration, of what God is doing in this world, and that sometimes our human limitedness means that we don't always see the full story. You know, in the gospel reading for today, the Gerasenes felt like they had the full sum of this man's story, the one who was possessed by demons that drove him into the wilds to reside among the tombs and the graves. They figured they had it all figured out until Jesus shows up and enters into this man's life, and all of a sudden, this individual that they had written off, whose life was defined by the demons who had him in their grasp, was set free. Was given a new lease on life. But although Jesus did indeed bring healing and restoration to this man, it was not the end of the man's story. That's not where his story concludes. As Luke goes on to tell us, Jesus sends this man out in order to proclaim what Jesus had done for him, to reveal the ways in which the power of God brought transformation and new life. And this is our story as well. You know, we even put it up on our wall. We talk about how we are gathered in Christ to be fed by God in order that we might be sent out to serve, to proclaim the ways that we have witnessed God at work in our lives, and in order to, through our own words and actions, help people to experience that in their life. And our young people had that opportunity this past week, chose to live out that call and that mission by journeying to St. Louis to support the ministry that God was already doing in that place. to step into that dual experience of blessing and being blessed by offering up words and actions of service in order to speak love into the lives of people. And in doing so, witness God's transforming power work through us, allowing these people who are gripped by these situations out of control to feel, at least for a moment, the arms of God surrounding them in love. Which, given how amazing that experience is, to walk with someone to help them to become free from whatever it is that is causing suffering and separation in their lives, it seems odd to me that Luke tells us that the response of the community of the Gerasenes to this healing was one of great fear. You know, we can speculate about why this might be the case, and for myself, I find myself wondering if that fear was a product of the disruption that the grace of the gospel that Jesus brought into their midst. You know, that it's often a much more neat and orderly narrative when we think that people get what they deserve. That if we can point to that guy that's living out in the tombstones and has all this rotten stuff going on in his life, well, that's, you know, probably something that he did, some sin that him or his parents did, and so God has allowed this to happen to him, and that's the end of it. You know, it's just too bad for them, but it's a good thing that we're all living rightly, so that way we don't have to worry about it. And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up, restores this man, and now all of a sudden, that story falls apart. All of a sudden, it's up for grabs whether or not just living rightly protects us from having something unfortunate befall ourselves. All of a sudden, the ways in which we've treated that man because we felt we were following God's will to exclude him and push him out no longer makes sense. So I wonder if this healing, this amazing display of grace in their midst, disrupted the neat and orderly and tidy ways that they engaged the world, and if that was the source of their great fear. Can't truly know such things. But perhaps that type of disruptive world where things are ambiguous resonates with our own lived experience. You know, this world where we proclaim that we are at the same time both sinner and saint. This world where we often can find ourselves faced with situations where we have to choose the best of a series of bad options. This world where we proclaim every Sunday that Jesus has defeated sin and death, and yet this world that seems to hold far too much of both. One of the other details that really caught my eye this week as I was reflecting on our gospel passage was when the demons ask and are allowed to be sent into the pigs. Because it seems weird to me, like, you know, Jesus, you're holding all the power here. Like, why give them anything that they want? But it seems like that sometimes. Doesn't it, friends, that evil gets what it wants? You know, that we can have folks who commit horrible crimes given a pass because of their power and wealth and influence, or that we'll see people suffering and dying in one of the richest nations of the world because they don't have access to food or medicine. Sometimes it seems like evil gets its way. But one of the details that might be more apparent to Luke's readers and listeners, to Jesus' community, than it is for us, is although the demons ask not to be sent to the abyss, to be sent instead into the pigs, that the symbolism of those pigs then immediately crashing down into the lake. That this, I think, is Luke pointing back to that first creation story in Genesis. That if you recall that in the beginning, the formless void before God moved over the waters, that the waters, the depths, the deep holds in it that symbolism of the abyss and that which is not of God. And so even though the demons think they're getting what they want, that they're getting a free pass, that when the story tells us that those pigs were sent into the bottom of the lake, that it's Luke telling us that ultimately those forces which separate us from God and from one another are cast out. And I think it's Luke foreshadowing here how Jesus' Good Friday resolves into an Easter Sunday. That even at those times when we focus on situations where evil seems to have the day, to be getting what it wants, that is not the full story. The full story, the story that we hear in the Gospels, is that Jesus dies and rises again, so that none of the forces of evil in this world, not sin, not even death itself, has the power to ultimately separate us from God or from one another. For each of us, our story is woven into God's story of redemption. And each of our stories holds the promise of new life after this one, a life marked by healing and wholeness, of being restored to right relationship with God and with our community. And so here we are in this space, this time between the cross and Easter Sunday and the time when all will be brought to a full restoration. And we are called, like this man, to go forth in our community, proclaiming what God has done in our lives and living in ways that people can experience the truth of this promise that we cling to. That the God who created each of us loves each of us dearly, desires to wrap us and hold us in arms of love and grace. And so God sends us out to be God's hands and feet in this world, to be the body of Christ, so that through our words and actions, all would come to experience the freedom and new life that God offers. Amen.